In Luke chapter number 19, I want to begin reading in verse 28. The Bible said, and let's just stand in reverence toward God if you're able. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Do y'all know why he was going to Jerusalem? He was going to die. His disciples didn't want him to go. But he said, for this cause came I into the world. And it came to pass that when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Years ago, I heard a preacher say something I've never forgot. He said, I don't want no rock taking my place. God saved me and I want to rejoice. Amen. And praise him for what he's done. You can be seated. Pray with us and pray for us. Father, thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, today for your blessings. God, it's already been so good to be here. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this fire's been started. God, that you would help us this morning, that we might place a log on the fire. God, that it might, Lord, burn in our hearts today, this week. God, that we might be a blessing to someone else along life's way. Speak to our hearts today, God, and we'll give you glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you for a little while on the subject, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And there's five elements that I want to look at today in the story. We're going to be a little bit in John, a little bit in Matthew, a little bit in Mark, and a little bit in Luke, because all of these gospels record this event. Must be pretty important. And there's some differences. I said differences, not contradictions, but some differences in the records. And I heard a man, I think the best way to explain it would be if there's an accident that takes place at an intersection. And someone standing on the north corner, some on the south corner, some on the east corner, some on the west corner. They all saw the same accident. And yet, when each one of them are interviewed, one might give a detail that another left out. They're all telling the truth, They're all describing the same thing that happened at the intersection. And I think it would be wise, beloved, to take that approach with the Bible. Don't say, well, I'm going to show you in a moment that not only did Jesus send for the colt, but he sent for the ass as well. But only one of the four Gospels records that. And let me give you something to think about. This is not original with me in my study. You know, this colt, the Word of God said, had never been rode on. You've got to break these animals, amen? You don't just jump up on them and go, amen? But it might have helped if Mama was standing there when Jesus got say, amen. I don't know about none of this, amen? But that might be why that the ass came over with the colt, amen? I don't know. But I do know this. There's something here for us today. God has worked in my heart, and I want us to see these elements. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12 first. John chapter 12. And I want you to be looking for these things as we go through and do some reading. Maybe when you go home this afternoon, read all four of these accounts in the Gospels. The first thing that I want to bring to your attention in the story is the importance of hearing. You might say, well, Pastor, why in the world would hearing be important? The Bible said in, I think it's Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Look in John chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible said, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Has anybody heard that Jesus is coming? There's some people here that heard that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. Now, I've been to some parades in my life, some of them good, some of them not so good. The last one that I went to has been years ago, and I was so nervous about it that I just said, I'm not going back. You can do whatever you want to do. Amen? You say, what was going on? A lot of terrorism at the time. I looked at my wife. I said, it'd be so easy for somebody to raise up and back one of them trucks and just mow this whole line down. Amen? So it's not something that's necessary for me to do. So if you want a parade, you go ahead. Amen? But I'm going to stay away from those kind of crowds. Amen? Let me say this to you. I believe this was a great day. I believe it was a great spectacle when Jesus was sitting on that colt of an ass. And I believe there's some things pictured. But it started in verse number 12 here. They heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. I'm going to give you two things right here quickly. We'll move on to the next thing in the message. Number one, they prepared because they believed that Jesus was coming. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible talks about after a while, we may read in some, that they went and cut palm branches. And the Bible said that they took their clothes and they laid them down in the way. And they put their clothes on the ass's colt and set Jesus upon. There was some preparation made ahead of time because they knew that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Let me say this to you this morning. You would be wise if you really believe Jesus is coming to prepare for his coming. Amen. Heaven is a prepared place. Yes, it is. But it's prepared for a prepared people. I don't know about you, beloved, when I used to travel a lot and I tried to stay prepared. I kept an air compressor with me when I was pulling that camper hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles. I kept a plug kit to plug a tire with. I kept a generator with me. I kept some water with me in case I developed a leak in the radiator. I kept an extra few quarts of oil with me in case something went bad. You might limp on down to the next rest stop. What were you doing? I was preparing for the worst. Can I tell you something about this world we live in? The worst is yet to come in this world. I've read about the judgment that's coming upon the earth, and you'd be wise to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus. You say, how do you get prepared? You visit this cross where he was headed. Amen. You admit that you are a sinner and you admit that he is the Savior, and you turn from your sin, sorry for your sin, sick of your sin, and you put your faith and you trust in the Lord Jesus. And then not only the importance of hearing did they prepare because they believed what they heard, but they participated. Did you know something? We could have revival in America. Let me just boil it down to this. We could have revival in Bloomingdale if all of the people that have been born again would participate in the work of God. Amen. I'm telling you, they participated. They let their voices be heard. They're thanking God and they're praising God. They're not just spectators watching. Amen. But they're participating in the joy. They're participating in the jubilation that's going on there. The word Hosanna, we'll read it after a while. It means adoration and praise and joy. And, you may not sing in the choir, but it helped the choir a little bit once in a while. If you just smile, if you just raise a hand, say, glory to God, I like that. Amen. Maybe nod your head a little bit. That don't hurt. Amen. I'm just telling you, we ought to participate in the worship of our Lord. He's worthy of that. So the importance of hearing. The second thing that God spoke to my heart about was the importance of helpers. Now, I might be wrong about this, but I don't believe I am. Let's read a little bit of scripture before I get too far ahead of myself. Go back to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. I want to look at verse number 30 and verse number 31. Saying, now Jesus is, he sent two of his disciples, the end of verse 29, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which you're entering, you'll find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say to him, because the Lord hath need of him. Now I'm going to make a statement this morning, and you might not believe it, and I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but I believe Jesus is such a Savior that he could have just called that donkey to come over there to him. Say amen. He said, Mama, bring that colt with you. Amen. But he wanted to use somebody. He used his disciples, and he used the person that owned. Amen. You say, Pastor, how could you believe something like that? I tell you, because I let my mind wander. Amen. I won't be dogmatic where the scripture ain't dogmatic. But that night when Peter said, I go a-fishing, and they got on that boat, I believe Jesus told all the fish to go to the other side of the lake. They didn't catch anything. Are you listening to me? And the next morning, Jesus said, children, have you any meat? He said, no, we ain't caught a thing. They let down your net for a drought. Amen. I believe Jesus called them right back over there beside the ship. You say, you really believe Jesus is in control of nature? Who else can stand on the bow of the ship and tell a storm to lay down? And it lays down. I don't know anybody else that can do that. So I'm just telling you, beloved, there's the importance of helpers. You know what I mean? Here's this. The disciples were willing to go. Jesus sent them, and they went. You know, Jesus, let me just say this. He can get this job done in Bloomingdale without us. I said he can, but that's not what he chooses to do. He chooses to use his people. I think Brother John was over there in Isaiah 6 a little bit. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will I go? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. God can do it, but he chooses to use his people. He chooses to use helpers in the work of God. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Not only were those that were willing to go, there was a willingness to go, but there was a willingness to give. That man that owned the ass and the colt of the ass, the donkey and the little one, that man just said, the Lord have need him? Okay. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we had that attitude? Lord, you need this? Okay. After all, Lord, you own it all. Everything I got just borrowed. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you might think you've got this and you've got that. And one phone call can turn all that upside down. Inside out. And upside down. I'm telling you, beloved, there was importance of the helpers. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 3, Paul said, greet Priscilla and Aquila. And then he used these words, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Brother Chris, when I was studying this morning, I said, God, I want to thank you for my helpers. I thank you for these men that are helping me here in the church. I thank you for these that are working with the children, these that are working with the teens, these that are working with their hands. Honey, it takes us all working together to get the job done. Amen. You and I are already eating, and Brother Gary's still back there counting money. Somebody has to do it. Amen. Somebody has to. Did y'all hear what I said? Somebody has to do it. But these things are unseen. Amen. Unmentioned. There's a lot that you see. A lot of people see the choir but never see the choir practice. If you sing in the choir, let me encourage you to come to the choir practice. And listen, if you don't sing in the choir, come to a choir practice every once in a while. Cheer them on. Amen. Amen. I tell you, it's good to know the importance of the helpers. The Bible said, be not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. When Jesus told them to go, they went. Amen. They were willing to give of the colt. They were willing to give of that ass. They were willing to give of their clothing. They were willing, beloved. Listen, you know what I believe about those palm branches? You know what I believe God's saying? I never thought about this before. Everybody can get in on it. Everybody can go over and get you a branch, amen. And amen, everybody can get in on. Maybe you ain't got no clothes. Maybe you ain't got nothing really nice, but you can go get you a branch and lay it down in the path where the Son of God is coming through, amen. Everybody can do something for the Lord and for His glory. I appreciate that, don't you? There's the importance of hearing. There's the importance of the helpers. But then this right here, there's the importance of humility. Beloved, the Word of God said that they couldn't have sung a better song today. Beloved, listen, Jesus Christ, He came to die that you and I might live. The Bible said He humbled Himself. The Bible said He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He knew that physically speaking, it was dangerous to return to Jerusalem. But Jesus knew that's where He was going to give His life, on a hill called Calvary. It had already been prophesied. Amen. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? The Bible said that God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Amen. Listen, the humility that's pictured this day. He is born to die. Turn to Philippians chapter number 2 for just a moment. Let me read this passage of Scripture to you. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter number 2. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all remember the Scripture where it says to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me? Amen. That's this mind. Let this mind be in you. Jesus, He's on His way to Calvary, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What you're looking at on Palm Sunday as Jesus in that triumphal entry is a picture of awesome humility. Amen. And I believe in the Christian life, in the Christian realm, the way up is down. Amen. We humble ourselves. The Bible said if we exalt ourselves, we'll be abased. But if we'll humble ourselves, God said He would exalt us. Amen. And I believe that's what's necessary to see a genuine Holy Ghost revival in our day. There's the importance of hearing. There's the importance of the helpers. And then there's the importance of humility. Jesus Christ, beloved, riding into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's the way that God had it planned. Amen. It was spelled out over in the book of Zechariah, and God knew how it was going to happen. And then there's a couple more things here. There's the importance not only of hearing and the helpers and the humility in the story, but there's the importance of honor. Go back with me to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number 21. In Matthew chapter number 21, let me read this to you. What I was talking about a while ago, and I want you to see this. I'll read it. Let's start in verse 2. He said, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them." You see, in all the other Gospels, it's singular. It's him. It's just talking about the colt. "And bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." I want to say this real quickly before I move on in the text. Beloved, don't ever confuse meekness with weakness. Moses, the Word of God said, there was not a meeker man in the earth. Amen. But I'm telling you, Moses was not a weak man. Jesus was a meek man. But Jesus was not a weak man. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, there's several ways I know it. Amen. Number one, they came to arrest him in the garden. He spoke to them and they fell backwards. Listen, it wasn't one of them Benny Hinn deals either. Say amen. I'm telling you, there was such power in his voice, amen, that he said, you could have no power of me unless it were given to you of my Father, which is in heaven. And then he said, the one that's told you about me, he's got the greater thing going on, the greater sin going on here. Watch this now. The Bible said, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Here's where we're looking at the importance of honor. "And brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed." So it looks like Jesus is in the middle of this mob. Amen. The multitude of people. There's some in front of him. There's some behind him. No doubt there's some with him as well. And the Bible said, they're saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. I'm going to tell you something about his presence. It'll move you. He ever experienced his presence on you, I'm telling you, it'll move you. Amen. Saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." The importance of honor. They honored him through obedience in verse number 6. You want to honor the Lord? Then do what he says. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Amen. You want to honor the Lord? Do what he says. Amen. And when you find out you're doing something that's contrary to this book, stop doing it. Amen. Listen, we're not saved by do's and don'ts. But I tell you what, we honor God by do's and don'ts. Amen. There's some things, listen, I'm not going out of here and stealing. Amen. I'm not going out of here looking for somebody else's wife. You say, Pastor, why not? Because this book said not to do that. Say amen. I'm not going to go out of here with jealousy in my heart. Amen. And anger in my heart. Why? Because God said, listen, I can't serve him like that. Amen. And so there's the importance of honoring the Lord. And we honor the Lord through obedience. And when we're walking in disobedience, we're not honoring the Lord. Amen. That's why we encourage new believers to get baptized. That's one of the first things you can do in an act of obedience, amen, to God. Lord, I'm not ashamed of you. I want to be identified with you in your death, your burial, and your resurrection, amen. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Jesus, amen. And then not only did they honor him through obedience, but they honored him with their substance. Listen, I don't know how this went that day. I really don't. I don't know what articles of clothing, but a statement just come to my mind. Have you ever heard anybody say something like, "Oh, Chris, he's a good old boy. I tell you what, he'd give you the shirt off his back if you needed it." Have you ever heard somebody say something like, "Oh, Brian's a good old boy. Hey, I tell you, he'd give you the shirt off his back." I don't know what they had on. Amen. I don't know if it was outer garments, but I'm telling you, they honored God with their substance, knowing, beloved, that people were going to walk on it, that the colt was going to walk on it. Amen. And here it comes down the road, and they didn't care. Amen. Because this man that was riding on this colt of an ass was worthy.
Amen.
He was worthy.
Yeah.
The Bible said over there in the book of Proverbs, honor the Lord with your substance, with your first fruits. Amen. And so they were willing to honor the Lord. They honored him through obedience. They honored him, beloved, with their substance. And you know, going back to those branches, you say, well, that's something God grew on a tree over there. It'll be a happy day in your life when you realize something. You realize that everything is a gift from God. Amen. I told a man one time, we were discussing a piece of ground. I said, listen, you don't own anything and I don't either. Everything we have is borrowed. We're here temporarily. The scripture says something like this: you brought nothing into the world and you're not going to take anything out. Honey, when you're laying over there in Wilcox Hall on the third floor, say amen. And just trying to get a little bite here and there, and you're sick, amen, and leaving out of this world, it ain't going to matter what you've been driving. It ain't going to matter where you lived, amen. What's going to matter is what's going on in your heart with God. I trusted the Savior. I'm fixing to move into my real home, amen. My real home is up there on high. The importance of honor. Then not only did they honor him with obedience, and they honored him with their substance, but they honored him with worship. That's where you see this Hosanna. And they're crying out with a loud voice. Amen. The Bible said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Go back to Philippians for just a moment. I read this in the portion on purpose a while ago, because this fits so much better right here in the message today. Not only did Jesus humble himself and the importance of humility, but I want you to see the importance of honor in this same text in the book of Philippians. The Bible said, wherefore, because Jesus humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I just want to stop and say this because I love saying it. It's true. Before I ever met Jesus in the free pardon of sin, Brother Michael, I knew there was something about that name. Ever since I was old enough to hear his name, I knew there was something about that name. I met many people, Brother Dale, in my life, my papa and my mamma, godly people. My grandmother would shout in the church service. I'm telling you what, I knew she had something I didn't know nothing about. I knew it was real, amen. And God would bear witness, amen, to the worship that was going on in the house of God. But I'm telling you something, God had also highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I'm glad that Sunday night in February 1987. Oh, I'm glad when God dealt with my heart. God said, son, you're filthy. You're wretched. You're vile. If you don't swallow your pride, you're going to be in trouble forever. I'm glad when I made that step, amen. I wasn't coming to Landmark Baptist Church. When I made that step, I wasn't coming to Brother Bud Wishon. But I was coming to that one that has a name that's above every name. He's the one that came to me. So I had to get to him. Amen. The Bible said, call ye upon him while he is near, and our God will abundantly pardon. I'll tell you what he did for me that night. He abundantly pardoned. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, he wiped it out. Glory to God, never to be remembered against me again. Watch this now. That night, it was at the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. My knee bowed that night. And my knee has bowed many times since. That night, my knee bowed because something was wrong. I knew that I needed a Savior. My sin needed to be forgiven. I needed to be washed. But I want to say this. I've bowed many times since. And sometimes it was because of sin again. Amen. The Bible said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Honey, it ain't just sinners that need to be cleansed. God's people need to be cleansed too. But I tell you, there have been other times I bowed. It wasn't because of something that was wrong. It's because of something that was right. I just had to bow and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for meeting this need. Thank you for saving this individual. Thank you, God, for giving me the message. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm reading the Bible. Every knee's going to bow. I'm just a country boy. I'm not real smart. But I'm going to tell you this. I know enough about the Bible to know this. You better bow now. Every knee's going to bow. One way or the other, every knee's going to bow. Don't wait too late to bow. Bow while it'll make a difference. Bow your knee to the one they sang about a while ago that died for you, that took your place on an old rugged cross. The importance of honor. The Bible said here that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, God just gave me something, Brother Chris. I believe the devil's got a tongue. Don't he? Sure he does. I mean, just go all the way back to the garden. First thing he done was use that tongue with Eve. He said, half God said. First thing he done was tried to put a question mark where God had put an exclamation point. God said, the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. So old Slewfoot come along. He has to have a tongue, don't he? Man, you're just going to get to witness this, Brother Chris. Even his tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You think about that for just a minute. He'll never be saved, but one day, beloved, he will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The last thing in the message, we see the importance of hearing, the importance of helpers. I'm glad to be a helper. I want to be Jesus' helper. I want to be his eyes. I want to be his hands. I want to be his feet. I want to have a heart like he has. I want to help him. Amen. I count it an honor to be counted a helper. Amen. By the way, Brother John, you magnified in a wonderful way Wednesday night. That Holy Ghost that he sent down is called a paraclete. And if you look that up, what it means is one called alongside to help. In other words, I've prayed this many times and God just showed me why. I said, God, if you don't help me, I can't help them. Amen. Amen. I can't help them, Lord, if you don't help me. If God don't bless me, how am I going to be a blessing to somebody else? Amen. Then the last thing, we've seen the importance of helpers, the importance of humility, the importance of honor. And the last thing in the message is the importance of hope. Turn in your Bibles to John. All this in the same story. John chapter 12 and verse number 16. when I got up here this morning, I figured 15 minutes I'd be done tops. But my figuring's off sometimes. John chapter 12, verse number 16. I want you to see something here. These things, you got to read it in its context, but I'm just going to read verse 16 for the sake of time. For these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, y'all know when that was, don't you? That's when he got up, the third day. Then remembered they the things that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. You say, Pastor, how do you get hope out of that? I'm glad you asked. Turn back to Luke chapter 19 for just a moment. Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. I want to look at verse number 32 for just a moment. And they that were sent, they went their way and found even, look at these next three words, or four words. I'm not Joe Biden, I can count. As he said, as he had said unto them. Watch this now. You say, Pastor, I don't know how in the world you find hope in this story. Watch this. He said they found it just like he said, as he had said. Y'all with me right there, right? The disciples didn't understand while it was going on, but when Jesus was glorified, they were able to figure out. There's another scripture in Matthew chapter 21. Turn over there for this moment. I'm going somewhere and I'll be done. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 2 through verse number 5. The Bible said, go into the village over against you. Straightway you'll find an ass tied, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be, what's that next word? Fulfilled. You know what God's telling us in this scripture here? This is happening because over there in the book of Zechariah, God said this is the way it's going to happen. You say, well, why should that give us hope? How many remembers the scripture where it says, he is not here, he has risen. Anybody remember the next three words? As he said. In other words, beloved, when you're reading this story and it's happening just like God said it would happen, you might as well just take the rest of that book and put your hope right there, anchor it right there, because everything he ever said is going to happen just like he said. I don't know whether I'm going through a hole in the ground or a hole in the sky, but I know I'm going. I'm going to be with Jesus. Oh, Brother Herman Anderson said, whether it's by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, I'm going to be with Jesus. Why? Not because some Baptist preacher said. Not because some church said. But because he said. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I try to be a good papa or a good daddy or a good husband. I'm not going to heaven because I pray. I'm not going to heaven because I read my Bible. I'm going to heaven because Jesus said if I'd put my faith and my trust in him, my sin could be forgiven and I could have a home with him in heaven. I'm not real good at accounting. We have to hire one when it comes tax time. But I know this. It's a good day when God takes the sin off of your account and puts his righteousness on your account. That's a good day. Amen. Going to heaven because Jesus loved me, gave himself for me. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? You say, Pastor, that's presumptuous to say that. No, it's just believing the book. It's just believing that whatever Jesus says, Brother Ralph, he won't lie about it. He tells the truth about it. Amen. He'll give us eternal life if we'll put our trust and our faith in Him. I explained to a young lady last week the difference between godly sorrow and the sorrow of the world. Nobody ever got saved with the sorrow of the world. You can be sorry for your situation, sorry you got caught doing something, sorry for whatever's going on. But when you get godly sorrow, it worketh repentance. That means you're sorry that your sinfulness has offended a holy God. And God will fix that, amen. That's why He died at Calvary. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to come in Your presence. Thank You, God, for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, heaven is just like You said. The tribulation is going to be just like You said. The great white throne judgment, the lake of fire is going to be just like You said. Lord, I'm glad we know that we know that we know You're trustworthy. God, I pray this morning now as we've bowed our heads and our hearts, God, that You'd speak to hearts as only You can.